Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Today's Valentine's Day. I want to send a shout out to all the people who are in love out there and all the people who have loved ones who they want to recognize and celebrate on Valentine's Day. It's a good day to show someone how much you love them, but so is every other day. You don't have to just succumb to the commercial consumerism that is manufactured in Valentine's Day, but also it's a good occasion to remember why we are doing the things we do. If you are someone who has a heart and a conscience, then it would likely be for the people you love, the people who make life worth living for you. So happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there. If you got a Valentine's Day shout out, you can send it to me. And I'll be happy to read it. Don't send me anything raunchy. I don't care what you and some person are doing with all your apparatus later on in the day. I don't need to know, don't want to know, won't read it out loud. But if you want to send something nice and sweet and simple, please, by all means, go ahead. 422-4796, 422-4796. Happy Valentine's Day to my wife, Paige. Love you. And to my daughter, Jamie. I love you too, sweetheart. And also happy Valentine's Day to my son. Just because it's a good day to remind the people you love how much you love them. But as I said, every day is a good day to remind the people you love of how much you love them. All right. Yesterday was the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 56. I was pulling for Joe Burrow because one of my best friends went to Louisiana State. Joe Burrow won the national championship a couple years ago with Louisiana State, the Tigers. And one of my best friends went to Louisiana State, and so I was pulling for them in the championship game. Then he won the championship game, won the Heisman as well, and made it to the Super Bowl quickly, within 2 years. So I was pulling for him, and the Bengals, they sucked last year. And they started off sucking this year. But Burrow, he was healed up from an injury, and he started showing improvement, so he did well. The Rams are also solid. All right, Matt Stafford, veteran QB. All right, you got some great defensive players as well and some great offensive players, including Odell Beckham Jr., who also went to LSU. And so I guess my friend Paul, shout out to Paul, lifetime LSU fan. Since he went to Louisiana State University, strangely a lifetime Raiders fan, no matter if they're in Oakland or Vegas. But it was a good game, I thought, even though Odell Beckham Jr. got hurt. It was still a good game, I thought. As far as Super Bowls go, it was pretty entertaining. Usually they're kind of a drag because the teams are either too evenly matched or one team just dominates because the other team didn't show up. And the halftime show was also great. It was great. My kids got involved. They were pulling for different teams. They didn't understand much of it, but I was trying to help them understand as we went along. Coincidentally, I broke my alcohol fast last night. Devil whiskey. And I see why I stopped drinking. I completely understand now. The feeling afterward, it's so much fun while it's going on. like so many things. And then afterward, you wake up, you're like, oh man, I feel like a truck ran over me. And that's how I was feeling this morning. I know that I locked up the house. I know that everything was secure and safe and alarm set and all this. I know that that happened because when I woke up, it was all done. But I don't remember actually going to bed or locking up the house or setting the alarm. But I guess some things go on auto program. Anyway, we're drying out again. That's my thing. So I'm going to do that. Up to you, what you want to do with your life. I do, however, don't understand how we got this far as a civilization drinking so much alcohol. Or maybe we got this far because we drank so much alcohol. We dared things that reasonable people wouldn't do when they're sober. Maybe that's a thing. All right, so today we're going to talk about a couple of things, but primarily among them we're going to talk about this statement by K. Forbes Smith. Said, Juan, which campus LSU did he attend? He attended Baton Rouge. Yeah, Baton Rouge. I would visit him at LSU, too. It was a lot of fun. One Thanksgiving, I was in Oklahoma. I caught the bus from Oklahoma to Baton Rouge, which ain't that close. And then we drove his car to Atlanta from Baton Rouge, which is a hell of a drive. We drove there and back. The things you do when you're young, you know? We had such a good time. That entire, it was like 10 days of just the most fantastic time ever. I don't know if you ever went to like Atlanta in like the late 90s, early 2000s. It was just a magical place. Magical. All right. Anyway, we're going to talk about this statement from K. Forbes Smith and what it all kind of means. We're going to analyze it. She says some heavy things in here, but we're going to analyze what we do know and what we do have. Because I'm going to be real with you. I am, to this day, not satisfied with the public disclosure and the transparency involved with how the Hurricane Dorian money, insofar as donations, insofar as what we borrowed, what came out of the Treasury. I'm not satisfied with how it was accounted for. I'm not. Not with Dorian, not with the pandemic money. Like, I know what they said was done with the pandemic money, and I can explain to you what the Ministry of Finance said was spent. But if we look at the Auditor General's report at the IMF money, we can understand that we didn't have a clear idea of who the beneficial owner of certain companies were, and still, insofar as compliance with like transparency, a lot of it didn't meet the muster. All right. So we've had tens of millions of dollars that went into the Disaster Reconstruction Authority alone, in addition to many more tens of millions of dollars that went into infrastructure rebuilding on Grand Bahama and Abaco. So to refresh your memory, Hurricane Dorian hit Abaco on September 1st, 2019. It slowed down and moved to Grand Bahama. Right, if I remember correctly, it slowed some more. It hit Grand Bahama on the 2nd and didn't leave until late on the 3rd. Abaco was mashed right up. Grand Bahama was mashed right up. The whole world was paying attention. Everybody was kind of horrified. It didn't strike me as there was any real sort of plan or playbook that they had a responsibility to create that was actually created. If you notice, there still is no playbook created. And one of the things that was mandated after Dorian was that they create a playbook for this. I've yet to see that as to what happens if another Category 5 hurricane hits or another dangerous event occurs. I have yet to see any sort of plan at all as to what's supposed to happen. In the aftermath of Hurricane Dorian, the Prime Minister at the time, Prime Minister Dr. Hubert Minnis, he named as coordinator for Hurricane Dorian cleanup efforts K. Forbes Smith as a volunteer. as far as I'm aware. She was then president of the Senate, and by September 11th, she was named by the prime minister as a special coordinator for Hurricane Dorian. So Kay Forbes Smith was involved directly in the Dorian effort less than 10 days after the hurricane hit. All right, so Jack Thompson and Algernon Cargill were put to lead the relief and redevelopment effort in Abaco, and Kay Forbes Smith was put to lead the effort in Grand Bahama, according to the prime minister. All right? So they were involved since then. So as of early September, Kay Forbes Smith was directly involved insofar as coordinating with NEMA and other agencies in the relief and recovery effort on Grand Bahama, so that we can establish that timeline. The Disaster Reconstruction Authority was formed. And before that, actually, the Ministry of Disaster Preparedness, Reconstruction Management, it's a long word, I can't remember all of it, that was created, all right? And Hiram Lewis was named as Minister of State for that ministry. And then on November 29th, 2019, according to my gazetted copy of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority Act, the Disaster Reconstruction Authority came into being as a legal entity in this country. Some people say it was December 1st or whatever, but I, from what I see, it's November 29th, 2019. Kay Forbes Smith was appointed the managing director of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority. I believe she resigned from the Senate. It was either December 1st or 2nd, and she went to work for the Disaster Reconstruction Authority, bearing in mind she was involved with NEMA almost the entirety of the time after the hurricane hit. About a week passed, and she was named coordinator for efforts on Grand Bahama. Now, I had an issue from the beginning, and this we're going to go through all this. I had an issue from the beginning with the president of the Senate being appointed leader of that effort in Grand Bahama, just in terms of everyone who has half a brain knows that Kay Forbes Smith is intimately involved with the Free National Movement, has been for many years. She was one of the people who spearheaded the FNM's election campaign in 2017. And to me, it immediately smacked of politicization of the relief and recovery effort. And the prime minister did so many dumb things that shouldn't have happened with regard to the aftermath of Dorian that it boggles the mind, right? And to just not have transparency about it all this time is really beyond the pale, right? If the PLP were in power and this much money was spent and nobody had a proper accounting for it, you'd freak out, because that's exactly what happened when the PLP was in power and they borrowed $100 million and then we were asking, where'd the money go after Matthew, right? So I'm not just going to let it ride because somehow you feel more comfortable that the FNM's more trustworthy and doesn't have to account for stuff. It doesn't work that way with me. I never thought the president of the Senate should have been appointed a coordinator to lead the effort in Grand Bahama, despite whatever her talents may be. And I didn't think you should have the president of the Senate step down to go head your disaster reconstruction authority. The way the law works, the board is in charge of the DRA. The chairman's in charge of the board. The managing director is appointed by the board. It has to have written approval of the minister. Which minister that was, I have no earthly idea. Who signed Kay Forbes Smith contract to run the DRA, I have no earthly idea. I haven't seen this contract. Who crafted the contract, I have no idea. Former Prime Minister Minnis says he doesn't recall the contract, which I just don't believe that. So I don't believe that he's not aware of the terms of any contract that the head of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority headed. All right? I just don't. You take that as it is. All right? So now we have Kay Forbes Smith had a contract with the government. We didn't know the details of the contract. It was never publicly mandated. By policy, these contracts are supposed to go to cabinet if it's over 50 grand, if it's over 50 grand a year, if it is longer than 2 years in duration. And plus, since when do the heads of statutory bodies, since when are those not vetted through cabinet, right? So I don't know who signed the contract. I don't know who gave her the contract, but apparently her contract was worth about $150,000 a year in cash. And somebody who was either extremely negligent or doesn't mind playing games with our money didn't put an exit clause in the contract for the actual employer, which is just ridiculous, really. And there's not much you can really say that will justify that at all. It's complete negligence of taxpayer funds to craft these sorts of lucrative contracts and not put exit clauses in them. So she's suing us for $400,000. Okay, Forbes Smith was fired by the Office of the Prime Minister by the Office of the Prime Minister. She received the letter, they say, sometime around the 29th of September. Was it the 29th of September? I'll double check that, actually. She received a letter in any event from the Office of the Prime Minister last fall, that fired her from that position, which it is up to the minister to have carriage of who is managing director or not. So the law says that she can be removed by the minister, which, of course, only makes sense. What in what planet is someone appointed by the government and the government's not able to end their term of employment with them? That doesn't make any sense. So she sued. Since then, we've heard a lot about the DRA, a lot about lucrative contracts from people connected to the FNM, like Heather Hunt, who ran a marathon before, like Ed Curling, who's connected to the Free National Movement. And we still don't have clarity on what went down. Now, Kay Forbes Smith is defending herself in light of social media reports that something inappropriate allegedly went down in 2019 with regard to a generator. We're going to break that down when we come back on the other side of this break.
Of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Burger King NASA is taking spice to new heights with the new Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken sandwiches. Enjoy your choice of a flame-grilled Whopper or a crispy chicken filet topped with chipotle sauce, guacamole, jalapenos, cheese, lettuce, and tomato, all on a fresh potato bun. The new Baja sandwiches at Burger King NASA pack plenty of flavor, and with an ice-cold Pepsi and fries or onion rings, it's the perfect way to fill your day. The Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken sandwich are only available at Burger King NASA, where taste is king.
Children are a blessing and should be treated with love and care. They deserve safe, stable, and nurturing relationships, a supportive family environment, and positive social networks. Mothers, fathers, teachers, aunties, uncles, neighbors, Bahamas, let's do our part to stop the physical, sexual, and mental abuse of our children. Make the calls, file the reports, save precious lives. Let's join hands and hearts and say no more to child abuse. This message was brought to you by CFAL. Growing wealth for future generations.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
We'll be right back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. So we're breaking down the latest of what we know about the DRA. So they're trying to complete the financial audit of the DRA, and they said they're going to move into a forensic audit. We'll see what the forensic audit details in terms of if they believe there was any sort of misfeasance or fraud, etc. We'll have to wait on that. Hopefully that doesn't take forever. And hopefully they table that in Parliament so we can have qualified privilege in reporting on that. In any event, K4 Smith, who was the Disaster Reconstruction Authority Managing Director, was the subject of social media talk when screenshots of email communications among Grand Bahama Power Company executives or leaders were released publicly, as well as an invoice that is reportedly, well, she's confirmed anyway at this point, that was from Catherine Smith, which is her name, K. Forbes Smith, to Grand Bahama Power Company. David McGregory and Dominique Pinder, the invoice was addressed to them for $16,000 for a 15-kilowatt diesel generator. Pictures of the generator have also been placed online. An examination of the photograph of the generator does show that it has the same serial number as that appears on the invoice that K. Forbes Smith sent to Grand Bahama Power Company. Now, she's responding to this, and we're going to look at it now. All right. Send me your Valentine's Day shout-outs. I'll shoot them out there for you. Okay, statement by K. Forbes Smith. This was released yesterday, and we're going to try to understand this, okay? So she says, for more than a week, an army of political operatives and social media trolls have continued to publicly and relentlessly drag my name through the mud in connection with a matter that is currently before the courts. I believe this to be a conscious and coordinated witch hunt designed to intimidate me into abandoning the proceedings. Okay? This underhanded campaign has now culminated in a bold-faced malicious lie. She says, it is claimed that while serving as the managing director of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority, I, quote, stole and then sold for personal profit a generator that had been donated to the government of the Bahamas as part of the Hurricane Dorian relief efforts. She says, out of respect for the judicial process, I've been reluctant to break my silence in the face of these attacks, but enough is enough. I cannot and will not allow my name to be maligned with such a brazen and contemptible falsehood. The facts are as follows. In September 2019, I acquired a generator for use at my private home. It was my personal property and was not donated to the government's disaster relief effort following Hurricane Dorian. Two, the acquisition of my unit was in the works before I became involved with NEMA as a volunteer and months before I was appointed head of the DRA. I acquired the unit before any generators donated to the government through NEMA or otherwise had arrived in Grand Bahama. Four, at no time was the generator in question in the possession of NEMA or any government agency, nor was it ever stored at a NEMA warehouse, as has been claimed. Five, to be clear, the generator in question had nothing whatsoever to do with the government's relief efforts following Hurricane Dorian. Six, unfortunately, it turned out that the unit was not purpose-fit for residential use, so on the advice of my electrician, I contacted the Freeport Power Company to inquire if they were in need of such a generator. The response was affirmative, and the company agreed to purchase the unit. She says, I vehemently and categorically deny the allegation that I stole a generator from the government or from anyone else. I likewise deny that I acquired a generator intended for the government's disaster relief efforts by any other means. This false, unfounded, cowardly attack has caused direct harm to myself and my family. I have been wrongfully branded a criminal, and my family's private information, including banking details, has been illegally acquired and made public. No one should be subjected to this kind of abuse for seeking to have a matter decided by the judiciary, which is the protector of everyone's rights under law. I will not be intimidated. The matter in question will be decided in court based on the merits. It will not be derailed by fake news campaigns or cheap political stunts. In the meantime, I reserve all my legal rights with regard to those who continue to damage my reputation by spreading false and destructive claims. All right. End. Okay, so I'm with her that your public information, including your banking information, should not be out there. And it's unfortunate that you've been placed in that position. But I will say this, and I'm going to read for you what some of what was released on social media. In terms of just the content of it, I'm not trying to get into what any particular actor on social media was saying. I'm just reading what was put out there, and her story actually bears out that these documents appear to be accurate. But I'm going to point something else out to you as well. So this is an email from David McGregor at grandmamapower.com, sent Tuesday the 19th of November at 7:16 a.m. Copied on this email, which I've not independently verified, but the contents of the email appear to bear out her explanation of it. This email was sent to Jared Moss at Grandmama Power, Frank Woodworth at Grandmama Power, Thompson Pedthrow at Amera Carabine, which owns Grandmama Power. Copied on the email is Dominique Pinder at Grandmama Power, Nicola Cooper at Grandmama Power, Nikita Mullings at Grandmama Power, subject 15 kilowatt generator. The email reads, Jared, I've agreed to buy KF Smith generator for $16,000. You can use it for a substation project or Frank Pedro as a backup for one of the small solar and storage projects in the East. Please work through procurement to make the transaction happen and have it removed and put into our possession. Thanks, Dave. All right. Again, that was dated November 19th. All right. This was dated November 19th. So this transaction happened in November, okay? You would recall that on the 11th of September, the Prime Minister had announced that Kay Forbes Smith was going to be the coordinator for the ground bomber relief effort. So she had been in that role for several months when the sale of this generator occurred. So she had been involved with NEMA and coordination efforts on Grand Bahama for several months, since September 17th, is when she began the role, according to information released by BIS, and therefore she had this generator for 2 months, if we understand what she's saying to be the case, that she acquired it in September. I don't know in what context we're using the word acquired. How was it acquired? Was it purchased? Was it a gift from a friend? What sort of acquisition are we talking about, is my question. I will note that our news team did ask if there was a receipt for purchase of the generator by Ms. Forbes-Smith, and we were told that there was no further comment other than what was said in the statement. So I don't know how this generator was acquired, but she says she acquired it in September. If you would recall, Hurricane Dorian hit Grand Bahama on September 2nd, and continued there on September 3rd. She was placed in the official capacity as NEMA coordinator, according to Travis Cartwright Carroll, who did some research on this, September 17th. Okay? This generator was sold on November 19th. K4 Smith became the coordinator for Grand Bahama's Dorian relief efforts, again, September 17th. Okay? Now, I'm interested that Grand Bahama Power needed a generator, a 15-kilowatt generator, in November by the end of September. Certainly by November, Grand Bahama Power had re-energized most of what actually had been knocked out. So I'm looking at releases from Grand Bahama Power Company. I'm looking at the Grand Bahama Power Company's restoration schedule for Freeport and for 8 Mile Rock and for several other places. So by the end of September, most of Freeport that needed re-energization that actually had lines was energized, according to Grand Bahama Power Company. Okay? Yeah, no, I said she was announced she was NEMA coordinator on the 11th. Well, Travis had said it was, she assumed the role on the 17th, but okay, if you're saying the 11th, then the 11th is fine. Either way, it was in September, not November, not December. And December 2nd, she became managing director of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority. So that was going on. Also, Grand Bahama, by the end of September, Grand Bahama Power Company had re-energized most of Grand Bahama, except places that were like totally decimated. But that's one thing. Why Grand Bahama Power Company needs a 15-kilowatt generator, I'm unclear. And again, I'm just going to go with what she says. It raises questions for me. So, for instance, she said the generator was not purpose-fit for her home. I don't know what that means. It's a 15-kilowatt diesel generator producing alternating current. How does this not work in a house? Okay, that's the first thing. The next thing is, I have a generator. And again, I'm just asking questions. So I have a generator. It's a 16 kilowatt. I don't even think they make 16 kilowatt generators for Generac anymore. Shout out to Lauren Pyfrom over there at Marlin Marine. Yeah. He hooked the generator. If you get a generator, okay, you're going to do one or two things first. It's going to happen. I know we got a break. Give me 1 second. Let me just finish my thought, right? Break will be all right for one moment. So if you get a generator, one or two things is going to happen. You're either the generator company that sold you the generator is going to come to your house or business and make sure that your electricity in your house, your electrical panel and wiring is up to standard to have the generator operate, or you're going to go get an electrician in order to make sure that your house can run on this generator. So how you acquire, whatever that means, a generator without understanding that it could work at your house doesn't make much sense to me. Now, you could say your house is rather large and 15 kilowatt isn't enough to power all of your house, but 15 kilowatts of power is certainly not nothing. You could power definitely numerous things. I got some more questions about this. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this break.
We believe in relationship banking. We take pride in getting to know our clients. You have access to knowledgeable, approachable ambassadors and financial coaches so that we can recommend the best product for you. At Fidelity, we care about you. From your financial health to your physical health, we can relate to you because we're just like you. Come and start your relationship banking experience with us today. Visit us online at fidelitygroup.com. Visit any of our branches in Nassau or Grand Bahama, or phone 356-7764 in Nassau, or 352-6676 for Freeport. Fidelity, we're good for you.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Good day, Airborne Freight and Cargo Services. How may I help you today?
Hey, listen, I just heard about you all, man.
Yes, sir. How may I help you, sir?
I hear you all giving out free things. And I's a mom with 12 children. I love free things.
Well, yes, sir. If you're ordering with Airborne Freight and Cargo Services for the first time, we will be giving you prizes just for shipping with us.
Hold on, wait. What are y'all giving out, sir?
Well, we're giving away gas vouchers, coupons from various outlets, up to 20% off your shipping fee, and so much more.
Could y'all please stop slamming my door? None of y'all pay no bills inside you.
Sorry about that, Mom. Hey, y'all is shipped double shoulders because this woman expecting twins again, Dred.
Airborne Freight and Cargo Services. Get rewarded for being a new customer on top of our ready low rates. Call us at 377-0450 or visit us on Facebook at Ship Airborne for more information.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Gentlemen, welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We're just going through the statement released by Kay Forbes Smith to try to understand it better. So I understand it less when I look at the statement and then look at what's before me. It says, the facts are, in September 2019, I acquired a generator for use of my private home. It was my personal property. It was not donated to the government's disaster relief effort following Hurricane Dorian. All right, so my first question is, how was this acquisition realized? It says, the acquisition of my unit was in the works before I became involved with NEMA as a volunteer and months before I was appointed head of the DRA. It said, I acquired the unit before any generators donated to the government through NEMA or otherwise had arrived in Grand Bahama. I actually don't know that that's the case. I'd have to double check that to understand that. So you acquired the generator in September 2019. It was in the works before I became involved with NEMA as a volunteer. So you became involved with NEMA as a volunteer on September 11th, according to the Prime Minister, who said you were heading the coordination effort on Grand Bahama the same month that you acquired this generator, unless you acquired it on the 1st, 2nd, or 3rd. Which is doubtful because the ports were closed, I believe, in Grand Bahama and Abaco. And almost all of the Bahamas, as we would see what Dorian was doing. I know this because I couldn't get a flight to come home. I was in Canada. So you acquired the generator the same month that you started working. You were the coordinator for NEMA's relief effort on Grand Bahama. Okay. You said it was in the works before you became involved with NEMA. Okay. Months before I was appointed to the DRA. Fair enough. In no time was the generator in question in the possession of NEMA or any other government agencies, nor was it ever stored in a NEMA warehouse, as has been claimed. To be clear, the generator in question had nothing to do with the government's relief efforts following Hurricane Dorian. Okay. So unfortunately, it turned out the unit was not purpose-fit for residential use. So on the advice of my electrician, I contacted the Freeport Power Company to inquire if they were in need of such a generator. The response was affirmative, and the company agreed to purchase the unit. Well, I'll also say this, and, you know, I'll just be real with you. If you're the coordinator for Hurricane Dorian relief and recovery efforts on Grand Bahama, which you were on November 19th when this generator was sold, why are you selling your generator to the Grand Bahama Power Company? That doesn't feel appropriate. If you're the president of the Senate, as you were at the time, why are you selling your generator to Grand Bahama Power Company? It wasn't purpose fit for residential use. I don't understand what that means. It's a 15 kilowatt diesel generator producing alternate current from the specifications I see, which means it is exactly for residential or commercial use. And what was Grand Bahama Power Company doing with it? Here's the other thing. Remember what I told you? Someone always talks, right? So this email, this internal email from Grand Bahama Power Company, there's only Grand Bahama Power Company people on it. And one guy from Emera, who I'm not sure if he's Bahamian or what. So only someone with access to Grand Bahama Power Company's emails could have released this, insofar as I'm aware. All right? Because if you look at the website that's at the top of the email, it's Grand Bahama Power Company, EAM. I think it's Amera. All right, so this is an internal email. This one on Tuesday, November 29th. The response to it that was released is also an internal email. Okay. And this was the same day. From Jared Moss to Keisha Seymour, CC Dominique Pinder. Good morning, Keisha. Please see email below. Can you create a requisition for K. Fort Smith to the amount of $16,000? Please charge it to Substation Minor Capital. In addition, you may need to get with purchasing first to have her name entered into EAM. Okay. Thanks, Jared. All right. So again, only Grandmama Power people on this email. So the likely place that all this information came from would have been from someone connected to Grandmama Power Company. Who knows how to access their records? So unless she released it, because this invoice is for a 15-kilowatt diesel generator, the model number and serial number matches what's in this picture, this invoice was to Grand Bahama Power Company. Now, we called Grand Bahama Power Company today, and they said they were going into a meeting at noon and that they would be releasing a statement later today. I'd be interested in seeing that. So to my knowledge, right, if I'm narrowing it down, the likely people who could have leaked these emails, these invoices, were either connected to the power company itself with regard to this purchase or her, because the invoice is from her to them. There are no third parties attached. And there's also a receipt showing payment to her particular bank account, which is unfortunate. People releasing people's banking information. It's not cool. And in any event, this generator, I don't know where this generator is housed, but this is inside a warehouse. Who's a warehouse? I don't know. I've never been in any warehouse that I can remember on Grand Bahama, so I'm not familiar with them. But it does appear this was housed in a warehouse, and it is the exact same serial number on this generator. So I don't know who took pictures of it. Interesting turn of events. In any event, I'm left with more questions than answers with regard to this generator. And am I tripping off one generator in terms of like tens and tens of millions of dollars that flowed through the DRA? Not necessarily, but this just appears too close for comfort. All right. So I can't assume that anything nefarious happened. As far as I'm aware, this is all legitimate and above board, but I still don't know that it's appropriate. All right. And I do have questions because everything doesn't seem to make sense to me. But that's just me. So if you're Senate President, NEMA Coordinator, I don't think you should be conducting this type of business with Grand Bahama Power. Like, you have to know. Even if everything is totally, totally legitimate, right? People are going to look at it and go, well, why are you conducting these sorts of transactions with the power company after the hurricane? And you're the NEMA Coordinator. Because you were NEMA Coordinator in November. And shortly after that, you became Director of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority. Anyway. This says, good day. Can you please send a shout out for me, please, to my fiancé, Jean-Philippe, from his fiancée, Cynthia, wishing him a happy Valentine's Day, and I'm looking forward to spending the rest of my life with him. Thank you. Oh, that's sweet. Juan is Miller on Valentine's vacation or staycation. Who, leaving? Leaving ended his show. You didn't know? Yeah. Anyway, we got to go to the break. We'll be back on the other side. Stay tuned.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We were talking about the statement by Kay Forbes-Smith about this generator. And to be fair to her, she has every right to want to respond to it, particularly if it's all there out there over social media. While she was certainly a public figure in terms of being president of the Senate, in terms of being the NEMA coordinator for the recovery and relief effort, in terms of being the Disaster Reconstruction Authority's managing director, most certainly a public figure, but that doesn't mean that she should be unfairly assessed or have people attach nefarious motives to her without an abundance of evidence. So I agree with her wanting to clarify these things. I don't know that what has been revealed completely satisfies everything that we would want to know about this matter, since you brought it up. I wasn't talking about it before, but since you brought it up, I got more questions. I got questions for everybody. You can give me a call if you want at 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. I don't care if you haven't been listening to the whole show. I don't care if you're just catching the last 5 seconds of me speaking. If you say something wild, I'm going to cut you off. Don't call my personal number. Those of you who know you do, as if I don't have anything else going on, don't call my personal number asking me why you get cut. None of that. You say something crazy, in my estimation, according to my assessment, I am going to cut you. All right? So please, tread carefully. Okay? That's all I'm saying. And you can text us at 422-4796. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution. Hi, good afternoon. Welcome.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm great. How's it going?
I'm doing fine, man. Thank you very much. And good afternoon to the nation. Look, there are several comments I'd like to make on the statement you just read and the whole DRA motto, right? First and foremost, if I were a parliamentarian and there's a matter in the public domain regarding an item that I own personally, I would have demonstrated from evidence that that item was personally owned to me and not by the governor of the Bahamas, the story ends right there. I don't need to give no explanation to no person in the media because it's none of your business, to be quite frank. Right? Now, if we are talking taxpayer dollars that were spent and misappropriated, and misused, and as a result of malfeasance resulted, by all means, you should be held to the highest standards, especially as someone who served at such a high level and ought to know better, right? And so the same rules of fairness should apply, where the evidence would reflect that the item in question could be demonstrated that it was never, that no government funds were used to purchase this item, and that the item was personal to the individual. I believe, one, quite frankly speaking, that's the end of that saga for me, unless some evidence surfaces that demonstrates contrary to what the former president of the Senate explained, and none to my mind or to what I'm aware of has surfaced thus far, right? And so I'm waiting for the final reveal from the forensic audit that is ongoing by Bain and Associates, right? You can include?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, on the other matters now, I believe also that, that as it relates to the contract and that clause that was not placed in the contract, to my mind, from a legal perspective, and I'm not an attorney, but law really and truly one comes down to common sense. The application of fairness and common sense is what law breaks down to its finest number. And to my mind, one, when you think about that, once the government can demonstrate that the purpose that such a contract was entered into was to unfairly and unjustly ensure a certain reward for an individual undeservingly because they did not work for it, and because the contract was not legitimized in the first instance simply because of that clause, I believe that that case, to my mind, should be over at that point. And that's exactly what the implications are based upon the government of the Bahamas, who talked about corruption, who talked about accountability and transparency and stumping those things out, and still went and entered into such a contract. That speaks to rank intentions from the start to the very end one. And finally, as it relates to the other aspects of what is taking place in terms of the conflict of interest, in terms of the double dipping, in terms of the benefiting individuals and their spouses, I believe that whatever standards exist in law to hold such individuals to that allowed for such contracts to be entered into, those individuals must be held to the standard, and they must be held to account, and they must be made an example of in a legitimate way without muddying up the waters like the former Prime Minister did with the Sheehan Gibson and Frank Smith case and other cases on the record, including in my case, right? But do it legitimately and let the law lead where the law must lead. Thank you for the opportunity. God bless.
Okay, thanks a lot. And, okay, well, two things, right? So, first, just because you want something to be over, doesn't make it over, right? It's like when Clinton was like, we want to put the thing with Brave Davis behind us. You want to put it behind you. I don't know that everyone does, or that you saying you want to put it behind you actually puts it behind you. So, you saying you don't need to hear any more about it, that's great for you. I do want to hear about the circumstances surrounding the Grand Bahama NEMA relief and recovery effort in Dorian selling a generator to the Grand Bahama Power Company. I do want to hear more about it. I won't lie to you. I'm interested how that happens. The second thing I got to wonder is, does Grand Bahama Power Company just buy generators from people? Like in the public? Like, that is that a normal thing for Grand Bahama Power Company? Someone out there, let me know. Like, not from a store or a wholesaler or a supplier. Like, from a person. Like, Grand Bahama Power Company is so limited in its resources and reach that it buys generators from people out there who have generators without testing it, without a warranty. I don't know what the circumstances were. I didn't see the email saying to check none of that, and just saying, I agreed to buy the generator. Is that normal for Grand Mama Power Company? And they also will conduct that business with the president of the Senate? Is that a normal, regular thing? Seems strange to me. All right, let's go to the phone line. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Super Vaughn, what's up?
Hey, right here. All good.
Everything cool. I see you still doing big things, and I appreciate the fact that you still defending the people.
Yes, sir.
I call concerning this DRA issue. The reality is the matter is before the court with Ms. Smith. And the more we, the public, continue to debate and discuss the issue concerning Ms. Smith and her involvement relating to all the activities that took place in Freeport and in Abaco, we continue to mess up the matter. So I will appreciate if, I mean, Anton have the right to say what he say. And Ms. Super Vaughn Revolution.
Yes, sir.
Anton say he on the team. So we appreciate him being on the team. But being on the team, you can't be too much PLP. You got to be balanced in your conversation. The reality is, as I see it, Ms. Smith and, I mean, they say the performance was in the way it should be. But I don't see no, I don't see no wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. The government say they're going to do forensic, investigation, all that stuff. But the truth is, the matter is before the court.
This matter isn't before the courts.
You know, and so we.
But but you're saying it's before the courts. Where in court records is there any question of a generator, or any question of contracts, lucrative contracts being issued to people in the FN? None of that's before the court.
And that's that.
The only thing before the court is that they're alleging that she was terminated in breach of her contract.
Right.
That's it.
Right. And the same thing concerning Anton, and he won his case. So, and I think the results can be the same concerning Ms. Smith. Because the truth is, when it comes to the generator and all those stuff, that's, I wouldn't say private, but that's another type of investigation that have nothing to do with the matter now presently. Even though like, many persons from the other political side trying to find a way that they don't pay Ms. Smith for the money the government agreed to give her. And that's all simple as that. The government agreed to pay her that, and she accepted the agreement, and she moved forward and did what she had to do. Now, I mean, when, as it relates to generator and this one, thief and that, I think they just messing up the woman name and doing garbage, you know what I mean?
I can understand that. Yeah.
Truthfully speaking.
I can understand that, yeah. I gotcha.
So, Super Bowl.
Okay, gotta go. So... the first thing is, like I said, none of what we're talking about is before any court. What's before a court is she's suing the government for alleged breach of contract. That's before the court. I didn't bring this up. This is a statement she released. In terms of the current executive chairman of the DRA talking about contracts that were issued, none of that's before the court. All right? The next thing is, if you're the coordinator of the NEMA effort for relief and recovery on Grand Bahama, there are questions to be raised about the sale of any generator to a Grand Bahama Power Company, particularly if you're the president of the Senate at the time. There are questions to be raised about that. It's very closely related to the job you're being asked to perform, and it's not beyond the pale to ask these questions. You who want to shield those who do things that may come under question when they're in public life, that shield doesn't extend to this, right? So, for instance, you're the president of the Senate, right? So you're a politically exposed person, according to, what is it, the financial transaction? I forget the name of it. Anyway, you're a politically exposed person. So your personal financial transactions are not a matter of strictly being your private business in terms of assessing which financial transactions occur that could come into conflict with you being a politically exposed person. And once you're a politically exposed person, you're that forever, right? So once you leave the Senate, once you're no longer a member of parliament, you don't stop being a politically exposed person. According to what I see in law, you are forever a politically exposed person. And you're going to have to declare that, and your wife is going to have to declare it, and if your kids are your dependents, then they too are supposed to declare it, as I understand it. So I know you guys want to be like, well, what I do in my private life is my private life. In terms of financial transactions, particularly with regard to the role that you're playing in public life, it's not so cut and dry. So you don't just get to say, it's my business, and that ends that. I know you want it to be that way, but it's not like that. All right, let's go. So we have every right to question the circumstances surrounding this, as far as I can see. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's do it. So I'm not just going to shut up. A, I'm not going to stop talking about it before someone else claims this is before the court, because nothing I see in this is before the court. Or anything that Alex Storr would have said, none of that's before the court, other than her contract that she's suing over that she claims the government breached. That's before the court. And insofar as we are talking about what has been presented to the court, we're not in violation of any sub judice rule, as you would clearly understand, noting the plethora of stories that have been written about it by established media houses. So I don't see where we're in any violation of anything that's before the court or any sub judice normal practice. And I don't think that she gets to just do business with Grandmama Power Company in terms of selling generators XYZ. Why are the coordinator of NEMA? Why are you the president of the Senate? And we just go, that's your private business. It has nothing to do with nothing. It doesn't work like that. You get to do that when you're strictly in private life. And you get to say, these are my private business transactions. And even then, it's not like that. I've had my bank call me numerous times and ask me where I got this money from. What is the source of funds, right? When I went to go buy the stuff for the port shares, I had to disclose where I got this money from. You got to fill out KYC forms as a private citizen. And they still watch your money. And if you're under the impression that nobody can understand how your money comes and goes, you're lost. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Vaughn, what's up, brother?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
Hey, can I give a shout out to the people at Poop Deck on that's on Sandyport for the service A1 service.
Excellent.
Last night, and I thanked them. But Vaughn, at the end of the day, right? I said something to Dwight Schoed this morning, and you know, people have to understand. Anytime you offer yourself to public life, especially in this little small knitted country that we call the Bahamas, you open yourself up for public scrutiny, man. You know, because at times people might say things about persons like who I'm close with in politics. It makes me feel bad too, you know. But I say, you know what? How does it feel when I do it to someone and their family feeling it? So in this game, you know, they call persons like myself a troll. I ain't no troll, but you know, you gotta understand the brother who called before. You know, you got to be balanced when you call in talk shows in particular. If the person that you support, if they are wrong, they are wrong. I'm not saying that she's wrong, but I'm just saying be balanced. Don't just because the F&M person do something, oh, I can defend them, or because the PLP. And anyone who knows me, Vaughn, and I know you very well, I don't, if Mr. Davis does something, I don't like it, I will say it. That's just the wit, and that's where I stand, and I want everyone to understand that. I like to be fair, but let me say this to you, Mr. McCartney. I'm trying to figure out, if I buy a generator for my house, and before, like you say, before I buy a generator, I'm going to get an electrician, and he's going to tell me how much voltage, my house could take along with the generator. So That there sounds, you know, funny. And to be honest with you, I think, one, as time go by, more gonna come out because no longer than last week, When I mentioned that to you, said, you know what, I'm not going to say anything about it because you don't know nothing about it. Now, the person who is in the forefront of this, bring it out. So what do you want you to do as a talk show host, people who have a problem with you talking about something that the person who is in the forefront of the limelight, bring it out?
Exactly.
Help me to understand.
If you feel strongly that it's your private business, then you keep it private.
Okay,
you
keep it private. You know, but at the end of the day, people in politics, especially people who call these talk shows, you got to be fair, man. Be fair. If your government wrong, they wrong. If your government right, they right. You know, and, oh, last but not least, before I go, Mr. McCarty, I'd like to give a shout-out to, Lisa Ramen at the Rhodes, Mikhail Bonaby for the speed bumps. I mean, I could one of these days, but I don't, you know, there's so much of things that they did, and a lot of things, and y'all, PLB, new candidates, continue to do the good work, so let your work shine. Keep up the good work, my brother.
All right, absolutely.
All right.
So, let me explain something to you. This thing where everybody just gets to claim, oh, it's my private thing and all this stuff, it doesn't only apply to the Free National Movement. And I'm not saying that you guys are, some people are doing it because it's strictly political, but it doesn't just apply to one set of people. So when it was reported that Leslie Miller, some businesses his family owed a bunch of money to BPL while he was chairman of BPL, did y'all just let that ride? Was that his private business? Or did the then Minister of Works and Utilities, Philip Davis, not address it and said he instructed Miller to go pay? And that's what they did. When Ishmael Lightborn, who was a public servant, still maybe as far as I know, and he was appointed by the Christie administration to spearhead the public communications on value-added tax when it was the government had public discussions on it, then it was revealed that Ishmael Lightborn owed a significant amount of real property tax on his property. That didn't just say, well, it's his private business and it had to go from there. Nope, the Prime Minister got involved. All right, so you don't just get to look at the things that you want to look at when you feel like looking at it. All right. It says, while I agree with some of what you say, I nonetheless agree with Anton that if there's no unequivocal evidence, i.e. an invoice, a clear paper trail, etc., that indicates that she personally purchased the generator for me too, that's the end of the matter. Certainly the absence of same should be investigated. It's almost like a sitting MP getting a government contract, small country, and sometimes not enough private citizens to provide some necessary services. Fair enough. Not enough private citizens. Again, does Grand Bahama Power Company just buy generators off of people? That seems strange to me. Or is it because she's the president of the Senate or she's the NEMA coordinator? I mean, you ask these questions. That's A. B, you saying you acquired a generator and you actually purchasing the generator are not necessarily the same thing. Again, we did ask for a receipt or some sort of evidence that indeed the generator was purchased, and we didn't get that. I'm not saying that doesn't exist. I'm just saying we didn't get that. All right, we got a phone call. Sure. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon.
Hello, McCartney.
Hey, how's it going?
Everything cool. Thank God for that. Mm-hmm. McCartney.
Yeah.
You can hear me?
I can.
All right. Let me encourage you and say thanks to you people. I mean, investigative reporters like you. Who just check out and ask the right questions. Don't stop asking the question, because everything you ask, simple as you say, like when you get your generator, normally you bring in the person. You know, some people just go and buy a generator, but normally if you're really doing it sensibly, you'll get the person to come and check out to see how much current you pull in and all that stuff. I think you should continue asking the questions to them. You mentioned that you get a picture there with a receipt for the with a serial number for the generator.
Yeah.
You can't go to custom and find out if it how it come through the Bahamas and if it who it came to and all that stuff. I believe we should continue to ask the questions, especially with the cleanup part out. They supposed to sort out the garbage from the Hurricane, Abaco and Freeport, and then you have these new people who are in there, Mr. Starr and others, them saying that they ain't pleased with the work, and the work's still there. The evidence could show the work's still there. These people them should be forced to either give the money back you know, give the money back or come down with some kind of some kind of punishment for getting involved with it. Now, this thing with and you wasn't really talking about it until Anton brought it up about the contract, and you know, because like Mr. Storsey, this investigation and this forensic audit and all these questions being asked, it's nothing to do with that woman contract. I want the government to remember something. Some of us out here mightn't be smart like y'all. Now, we know and we have a good idea that y'all have a lot of smart lawyers them sitting around the cabinet table. Why y'all won't continue to waste our money, the public taxpayers' money, on paying for lawyers when y'all get smart lawyers could tell y'all if that contract signed, it mightn't look good or sound good, but it's a contract signed by the government. And at the end of the day, y'all have to pay the woman. Why waste our money having to pay lawyers when we could use that money to pay the nurses and doctors or fix roads or do something with sand? They need to stop wasting our money, because if this was the private business one, they would never do it. Keep up the good work and don't stop asking the questions, buddy.
All right. Appreciate you. Yeah, I don't feel any type of way to not ask questions. I'm going to continue to ask questions that are relevant. This is a statement that was released. Do we not scrutinize it? Do we just go, okay, fine. I don't work that way. If you choose to do that, knock yourself out. I'm not doing that. I'm going to ask questions. All right, we got another call. Sure. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. We got a lot of texts here, too. I'll get to them.
Hello?
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Warren.
How's it going?
Now, with my little engineering background, on that stuff, I saw a single phase. That's for 98% of our houses, and I saw a single phase. I mean, you have two huts in your house. Like a big house would have three huts, or a big food store would have three huts. And normally, they would make a generator that small, single phase.
Right.
You're talking three phases, you're talking like 100,000 watts.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, that ain't right. I saw on the stop single phase, which means the current is for a house. And what we find troubling too, those dorms and storage, $1,000 a day, still being charged to us. Did you see that on the news?
I did see that. There's almost $1 million in demurrage owed to tropical shipping.
That's what's called mismanagement. That's just troubling. It's sitting on the dock right now. $6 million worth of domes. They're sitting in the trailers, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is not good. This is.
No, we need to have further clarity, and I'll tell you something else too. If you were to say to Bahamians, "Look, we spent $200 million on Abaco and Grand Bahama, getting it up to speed in XYZ, and the people there actually felt like they were helped, that they were taken care of properly." That'd be a different story. And I don't think you'd hear people going, well, what the hell? Why is, how's all this money going and we don't see it on the ground? But the fact that the majority of people you speak to who were impacted in Abaco and Grand Bahama do not feel as though they were properly assisted, that should help you to understand that people aren't satisfied with the accounting for this money. All right? And when we stop asking how public funds are spent, we're going to be in a really deeply troubled place. Because last I checked, there were several members of the Free National Movement who wanted an entire list of private citizens who traveled to Dubai and what the government paid for and didn't pay for and why they were chosen to go to Dubai. So I don't understand why, when it comes to looking at the Disaster Reconstruction Authority, it seems like we want to say what should and shouldn't be public. All right. So the people who work there, their conduct has to be looked at. The money that was spent has to be looked at straight up and down. And it just is what it is. And it's not to be malicious to anybody. It just is what it is. If I didn't want to be scrutinized, I wouldn't go be the head of the NEMA coordination for Grand Bahama or the managing director of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority. That's just me. Let's go to the phone line real quick, and then we'll do some text messages and take a break. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Warren McCarthy, how are you doing?
I'm great. How's it going?
Warren, first of all, can I call the show? Let me ask you, because I'm getting in trouble. Can I call the show?
I mean, I don't. Are you banned or something? What happened?
No. I mean, Mr. McCarthy, first of all, right? I never come on your show the same way I asked question. And K. Forbes Smith, she have to answer the question. First of all, one, you was a smart man. Who you know could buy a generator for $16,000 and they find out if it could work in the house? That make sense to you?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense, no.
So let us say one, because I mean, K. Forbes Smith, she's a big woman. She's in the politics. She know how politics go. Answer the question, did you get me and show the receipt? Another thing, Mr. McCartney, the bigger picture is, I tell you before, let's have a score record. Do you know right now, in Sweet and Ski, we have RVs that was there on the K Forbes, I mean control, that wasn't yours. So she have to answer the question, did she stole the people's money? And she's a public officer. You know what I'm saying, what?
Well, first of all, she says she didn't steal anything. And to ask a question framed as, did you steal something, doesn't give you any protection from people saying that or trying to seek action against you. And that's one of the reasons I believe that Dwight doesn't like you calling, because you are not satisfied until you impute, whether directly or through some other method, that somebody is stealing. That's what it usually breaks down to with you, that you want to say somebody's stealing. And that's the gist of the problem. And until you can overcome that, I think that Dwight's going to continue to have a problem with you calling. So you can call for scrutiny. You can call for all that. Again, as I said, we're not going to talk about if anyone stole anything or not, even if that's what she's talking about. I'm just repeating what she said and asking questions about what she said. We did ask for a receipt for the generator, and we were not provided with one. Not that she has any obligation to provide us with one, but we did ask. This says, good afternoon, one. All K. Forbes Smith has to do is release the documents where she purchased the generator, plain and simple. I bought my generator like during or right before Hurricane Matthew, I believe. And I could still show you where I purchased it, because it wasn't no small purchase for me. I ain't got it like that. This says, one, the Christie Administration Commission audits, but they were never tabled in the House of Assembly. Waste of taxpayer money. The Minister's Administration Commission audits, and they were not tabled in the House of Assembly. Another waste of taxpayer money. I have no confidence that these audits commissioned by the Davis administration will be tabled in the House of Assembly and any inefficiencies discovered addressed. Yeah, neither should you have a great deal of confidence, given our history. Okay. It says, one, she was a lawmaker. She should have disclosed the sale through a resolution. Nothing wrong with selling her stuff. Just doesn't look good. The date's fuzzy. I don't think she is required to disclose that if it is not a government entity, which Grand Bahama Power Company is not. I could be wrong about that. Not in Parliament, anyway. It says, so she acquired a generator not designed for residential use for her house. So why did she buy it? And if so, why didn't she get a refund instead of reselling? If it was given to her as a gift, I need friends like that. What I want to know is if the generator was documented as being new, original packaging, or used when she sold it. Okay. One, the public allegation is that she sold the generator that wasn't rightfully hers. All she has to do is verify how she acquired the generator. All that other info is just gaslighting. Hoped she would just respond to the crux of the allegation to clear her name. It says, them Super Bowl referees didn't find their penalty flags till the fourth quarter, just like no one at the DRA found the tropical storage bills until last week after racking up $1 million in bills. It says, sounds like they were going to use the generator in Grand Bahama for redundancy, but during disaster recovery, I don't think anyone is into redundancy prep like that. They're just trying to get by at that point. It says, one, I have a bridge to PI for sale. I don't need any more. Use your light skin connections to hook your boy up with a government ministry that's buying. 45% sales commission is yours. All right, some of these I can't read. You guys are making accusations. It says, if you're in charge of NEMA and brought an inappropriate generator, you're obviously not qualified to be the head of the DRA. Well, that does raise another question, too. If you can't get the generator for your house right. It says, so if you bought the generator and you didn't fit it first, but somehow it subsequently didn't work, why didn't you turn it back into the store where you got it? It's just putting your foot in your mouth. So when that caller said the PLP should just pay her and don't go to court, that's stupid. These are government funds. We can't have people suing and no order by the judge. Yeah, also I wanted to clarify, too, he's saying that there should be some punishment for people who receive money from the disaster reconstruction of, in terms of if the contract was kind of lucrative or whatever. First of all, if I'm a businessman and I sign a legally binding contract with the government of the Bahamas and I submit invoices to you and you're paying them, I'm not giving any money back. A. B. I don't expect for you to have any sort of penalty for me doing legitimate business with the government. If the government is negligent in how it spends its money, that's a different story altogether, and we deal with the government people. But me as a private business person, I violated no law. Therefore, there should be no punishment for me. Let's do the phone lines. Sure thing. Good afternoon. Yes. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, Lord, my radio up on it so far for me, but I'm going to make it quick. All the lady got to do is just produce her receipt fine and make it all go away. That's all.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That would go a long way.
Radio on, eh?
Yeah, I hear you. That would help a lot. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. No? Okay. Said, did Grand Bahama Power Company put out a tender? Or RFQ or RFP? Good question. Like you do, I mean, it doesn't instill a great deal of confidence in who's running the Grand Bahama Power Company either. That doesn't seem strange to you. Let's go to the phone lines again. Okay. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. McGartney.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm all right. You know, I don't really get mixed up in these political intrigues, right? But the thing is, I'm noticing that no one had mentioned the fact that there was the same way you saw the generator, I saw it, right? It looks like a heavy-duty generator. I didn't get to see the information on it, but I didn't see the wattage or the ampacity, but it would be simple. It would just divide the, where I would equals the P over E. So the P would be the wattage, which would be the power, and you just divide that by the voltage application. So it only could be 120 or 240 like Andrew suggests.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that then that'll give you the ampacity of it. But you could see that it's actually for a big business place beyond, it can run a couple households. But I didn't see the info on it. But the thing is, nobody's talking about the other equipment that were missing out of the warehouse that the Defense Force are being indicated and that they might have nothing to do about because the guys might have simply been following political orders. Or orders just to move these things, but I just see that I saw that also with that information that a lot of other stuff was missing. And you know, at first, you remember the thing last year where they were saying police and defense was moving these things, but then that's really not feasible. You see what I'm saying? Why would they do that if they're in charge of keeping it? So I say I didn't know if you had privy to that information, you know. But this is ridiculous, man. This you kill my cat, I kill your rat, or whatever. This tit-for-tat political thing there, man. The country is in inertia, and we're not getting anywhere, and it's sickening to me. You know, this political intrigue is sickening to me, man. There's nothing going to happen until the citizens are awake. Bless up.
Okay, bro. We got another call. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. No? Now we're going to a break? Okay. Let's go to a break, and then we'll come back. We'll do some calls. Stay tuned.
The There's only one way to have a better morning.
How?
Start your mornings the best way with our 2 for $6 breakfast sandwiches at Wendy's. For a limited time, choose any two of your favorite breakfast sandwiches, including the fresh Kraken Sack Muffin, honey buttermilk chicken biscuit, double sausage muffin, or the sausage egg and cheese biscuit. Wash it all down with our cold brew shake or coffee. Better mornings always start at Wendy's. Wendy's, different inside and out. Excludes airport locations.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has stood the test. Always. You're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Happy anniversary, My Gateway. Did you know that you can request and pay for over 35 government services on mygateway.gov.bs? Sign up today and access government services online with efficiency and simplicity. It's a celebration of a year of collective success on our digital transformation journey. My Gateway, making government work for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. We're talking about the statement by Kay Forbes Smith. Again, I still have questions. So, it's nothing against her personally. I just have questions. It says, did Levin resign or was he asked to resign? I miss him already. I think he resigned. I think he resigned. He left. Levin's grown. I can't tie him to the chair and do the show. He's got his reason. If he didn't disclose them on air, then it's not my business to disclose whatever might be behind him leaving. Let's do the phone lines. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Warren. How are you doing?
I'm great. How's it going?
Man, nice show. Well, you know, I keep telling you, young fellas, right? You guys are the real behemoths. I born because you're the queen. Nothing is going to change this country until 2020 is going to be the whole Moses school. We can get rid of all at one time. They don't let the baby people, you know. See, they swear that they don't need to the queen, they have successors. And, you know, some people just call the talk shows every day, right? And I'd be listening. And if they don't change, they're going to have a serious war. Trust me, we're going to have a serious civil war in this country. Be tired. I am not going to let a body with me and my real baby people children. My grandfather was born in Ireland, of Blue Joe, 1897. Migrated from there to Andrews and make my dad and my uncle to my aunt and everybody. I go on the island before this. And I'm, my man, father, Adam, is what I mean. So my thing is, one, we get sick and tired. Politicians, Mr. Graham Davis, you know, just need to govern, man. Be tired, man. And then take my call.
Okay, cool. All right. Let's do another call. Good afternoon. And welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Warren.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. I'd like to ask you a question, please, about the DeMarch phase.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Now, do you know how long it took
for $1 million in demurrage fees to be racked up by customs?
I think over a year.
Over a year. Mm-hmm. Who owns the property that was collecting the taxes that we have to pay for the storage of the items that the government did not clear in a timely manner?
I don't know. I know Tropical owns the actual trailers.
Right, but there's also property where that where those assets would have to been stored. And so those are kinds of questions that we need to be asking, and we need to know who's going to be asked for allowing for $1 million of the merge fees to be run up and given away at a time when we could least expect it, when we are over $1 billion in deficit, and the debt is over $10 billion, national debt, and we could hardly feed the people properly, much less give people relief for unemployment assistance. Thank you for the opportunity. God bless you.
Okay. This says, Kay Forbes Smith is a Bahamian who entered into a legal contract with the government. This is nothing more than a deflection from the poor performance by a government who doesn't know their head from their elbow. Leave this lady alone and let the court decide. To this point, she's done anything wrong. She hasn't done anything wrong. I didn't say she did anything wrong. What does that mean, leave her alone? What does that mean? Where are we? That's what we do now? Oh, yeah, everybody gets left alone. What are y'all talking about? This says, the PLP is a very dangerous organization. The sad part is that Kay Forbes did nothing against the PLP. She was appointed in the Senate, and she was appointed by the government to manage the DRA. She's not an elected official, so she has no campaign rival with the PLP. She's suing the Bahamas government, who gave her a contract, the PLP going at her on a personal level, as if this government is a branch of Gambier House. I mean, I don't get that. I don't get the leave alone thing. Either. It says, Juan, you can't renew your homeowner's insurance without a source of income declaration. I know. This thing that, oh, yeah, private, it don't work like that. And only in your head does it work like that. If you think the government can't right now, or the commissioner of police can't right now go and freeze your accounts on suspicion of some sort of nefarious dealings before it's proven, you got another thing coming. Right? If you think they can't go right now and requisition your bank to give you all the information about your financial transactions, you're not paying attention as to what's going on. There's this illusion of this ultimate privacy that you have, but I assure you, it's not a real thing unless you don't use the banking system. Good afternoon, or the insurance companies, or the, who else? Any financial transaction company licensed by the Securities and Exchange Commission or Central Bank of the Bahamas. Good afternoon. Welcome. You got to hit it first so that they hear me say good afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hi, Juan. Good afternoon. How you doing, man?
I'm fine. How are you?
Not too bad, man. Mm-hmm. I appreciate your generosity at the beginning of the show. And I understand that there are legal ramifications for you guys as folks. But you used the word negligent as it relates to the absence of that exit strategy with the contract for the NRA director, chairman, whatever her title was. Mm-hmm. That's a very scary concept if you think about it. Mm-hmm. If there are people negotiating on behalf of the Bahamian people where something like that is not included, that's standard. And it is. And is it really negligence? But then when we as the people become suspicious of things like that, then they use words like libel and slander. How is it that a whole administration running the country, lawyers everywhere, advisors everywhere, that little bit of a contract, one contract, but that amount of money gets left out? Do you think it's really negligent, Juan?
I would be generous, like you say, and say negligence. To say that you wouldn't intentionally do that to our financial detriment, sure.
And with that generosity extended, what kind of state are we truly in as a country if something as significant, as important as that, with one contract, with a Bahamian here on the ground, with all of the business that we do with foreigners and foreign direct investment, then that's not a scary concept for you?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, when I heard about it, I was kind of taken aback by it. Why would anyone construct a contract that way? So... And
thanks for allowing me to contribute one. Just something for people to think about, man. Is it really negligence? That's all I'm saying.
Right. Yeah. Or if thanks. It's yeah. Or if it's like intentional. To me, it's like, why would you intentionally do that? This says, one, I still want to know what qualifications Ms. Forbes had to be awarded a contract like that, and also whom the F&M gave it to her. Is she a civil engineer? I don't think so. Says Juan, Dave was very disrespectful about Dwight on the previous show. This shouldn't be tolerated and should be banned or put in time out. We can agree to disagree, but should be respectful to the radio host or about the radio host. Shameful. I didn't hear that. And I asked Dwight who's allowed to call and not allowed to call. And I go by that because he's a station manager. As far as my personal thing, I have certain people I don't want to talk to, and that's just what it is. This says, Juan, the government should bring in the FBI, Scotland Yard, and Al Capone. Al Capone, I see. To investigate this mess. It says, I think Popper's suggestion is a great one. Follow the trail of the serial number back to the manufacturer, the retailer, then who imported to the Bahamas and cleared through customs, which shipping company delivered, etc. It says, when someone begins the questions, they never get to end them. Can she prove ownership of what was sold? Does she now own a generator, and where did that come from? Will her not being able to provide proof impact her case in court? I don't see, she says it's like, because I guess she's saying because of her lawsuit against the government, this has come out, which I don't deny that that's probably true, but I don't see where this is mentioned in any court proceeding. So I don't know how it prejudices the court proceedings one way or the other that we're talking about this. I really don't. Now, what I have not gotten my hands on and I'm trying to get is the letter terminating her that should outline the cause for her termination. Right? So according to her, there was no legitimate cause or according to the lawsuit. But I'm waiting to see what the actual letter says to determine if we could say, okay, did the government give cause? It says, it's incorrect that once a PEP, always a politically exposed person. Political exposed person status varies from financial institution to financial institution, depending on the political exposed person policy of such institutions. Okay, I thought that you serve in parliament, then you are regarded as a politically exposed person, according to the act, not according to what the financial institution wants. But I'll go examine the act before I say that that's definitively so. But that's how it was explained to me. This says, at the same time, I wouldn't be CCing all them people as if I was up to anything nefarious. Maybe if I wanted a favor later, I would. Every person I know, okay, I can't say it's true for all positions that are politically appointed. Every person I know who has ever been in parliament, whether the Senate or the House of Assembly, is a politically exposed person for the rest of their life. They are regarded as such. Because it would be extremely naive to think that once someone left frontline politics, they would no longer have their political connections. But every single person who's ever been in parliament said they've been out of parliament for years and years. And they still, when they go do banking, et cetera, particularly with the clearing banks, they looked at your political connections, you and your family. All right? As far as I understand the law. Okay? So I run on a political party's ticket. I'm appointed to serve in a branch of government by a political party. I'm a politically exposed person, clearly. Now, I don't think a lot of people understand the ramifications of all that. But it is what it is. All right. It says, you are correct. They are deemed a politically exposed person for life. And so those are the calculations you make when you run in public life, too. Not that you have anything to hide, But just know that they're going to monitor your stuff. All right? More closely because you're a politically exposed person. And they will, as soon as the compliance officers see, they have a list of people who are politically exposed persons. And when certain transactions that may be outside of the norm hit those accounts, they go through it. All right? Don't be unclear as to what's happening. We'll do one more call. And then, well, actually, no, we got to go. All right, show's over. I couldn't get to all your stuff. I appreciate your commentary and your weighing in. Again, I tried to tread carefully. I'm not imputing that anyone has done anything wrong or against the law. I'm just asking questions about what has been put in the public domain, which if we can't do that, then I don't know what we're doing at all anymore. You guys take care out there. Have a great day, Bahamas.